Well, former Young Farmer of the Year Anika Molesworth has been in Sydney lobbying the politicians and the decision makers to make them aware about the extent of the drought, particularly in far western New South Wales. Her family have virtually destocked the sheep property near Broken Hill. It's a big property as well. She's making a plea for understanding and also for action.
Yeah, so my family purchased our farm in the year 2000, so I was 12 years old. That was my introduction to agriculture. And how exciting, you know, we had this great expanse of land, you know, horses in the paddock, canoes on the dam, motorbikes in the shed. It was this great playground waiting to be explored. So as a kid, you know, what a sense of freedom and excitement having a farm brings. The year 2000, as many of your listeners are all too aware, was the start of the decade-long millennium drought. And it was watching that 10 years of little to no rainfall impact on our vegetation, on our productive capacity, on our family, on our community, that really sparked my interest in droughts and then the longer term changes that are happening in the region, and sparked my career and interest in studying climate change, how it's impacting farmers now, and how it's going to impact the next generation of food and fibre producers in this country.
So, and near Broken Hill, of course, in the best of years, you don't get a lot of rain. So I guess what you were focusing on was how it might look into the future and what you could do to mitigate that, you know, with the vegetation on your farm. Tell us how you... your thought process is there.
Yeah, so Broken Hill is naturally a hot and dry bioregion, and our annual rainfall sits around 200 millimetres, so it's not very much. But when you look forward at the projections for, say, 2050, I'll be the average age of an Australian farmer then, and we're projected to get 33% less rainfall. We're expected to get, you know, more hot, extreme weather events. That impacts our livestock directly, because livestock subject to extreme hot days, actually, you know, they lose lambs, there's reduced fertility, all of that. So that impacts your productive capacity. On one hand, I'm very interested in the science and the communication of science, and to make sure farmers are, you know, well informed about the challenges that they have faced, and well connected with the research, with the industry experts, to help them adapt and to mitigate emissions and all of that. And then at a local scale, what can you do on your own family property? So we've identified a number of rare and threatened species on our farm, which we know will be quite severely impacted by these higher temperatures, by these lower rainfall conditions. So we've made a conscious effort to fence them off. So we've set up conservation reserves, not allowing any stock to graze there anymore. And we're closely monitoring, you know, that tree growth, those species numbers and such things like that. But at the end of the day, there's only so much one can do on farm to adapt and to, you know, try and put the brakes on the changes that are happening so great, are happening so quickly. And that's why I've become involved with more national groups like Farmers for Climate Actions and these youth farming bodies. How do we actually really amplify the voice from rural Australia? Say, you know, agriculture holds such an interesting position and unique position because we are part of the problem of this, you know, and what's happening with the environment and what's happening with the climate. We're also on the front line of the impacts of feeling, you know, those droughts, the floods, the extreme weather events. And we also play an incredibly important role in the solutions. And that's what makes me quite optimistic and excited about the agricultural industry as a young farmer.
So you don't feel as though it's out of your hands and, you know, governments have to introduce things like a carbon tax, or they need to sort of mandate lower emissions. That's out of your hands as a farmer. That's out of your hands as a landholder, and generally for all farmers. Or you feel you can make a difference where you are on the farm at Broken Hill.
I absolutely feel like I can make a difference, and everyone has the responsibility of, you know, trying to make as much impact as you can. Because as farmers, we love our land. It's our home. It's like a family member. And when you see it degrading during a drought, when you see the impacts on your water resources, on your livestock, that really hits home very hard.
So how does that manifest itself in a practical sense? Are you totally destocked now? Are you trying to preserve vegetation? Are you trying to save water by using piping or, you know, innovation, things like that?
Well, I've spent the last 3 days on a motorbike mustering sheep, and then we've been selling them. So now we have 50 sheep left for our 10,000 acres. So that's the lowest number that we've ever carried. And
we'll and historically, that must be pretty low for the region as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at far western New South Wales, neighbours down the road, you know, we're seeing fourth generation farmers walking off the land at the moment. These are properties that have been held in family since their great grandparents. And these are farmers who are saying that what is happening now is something we can no longer manage. We no longer know how to look after that vegetation to earn an income from these properties. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Australia which is seen as too distant, too dry, too difficult, and is being forgotten about. It's being left out of the conversation. There's some great research being done in the productive areas like the Riverina, like the Liverpool Plains, but there's a lot of rangeland, inland, arid, semi-arid zones which aren't getting the attention that they need right now.
So what's going to happen? No sheep, and what, the kangaroos are going to take over?
We're seeing incredibly low kangaroo numbers. We're seeing low numbers in everything at the moment. We run African sheep and goats, and they are the hardiest species you will find anywhere on the planet. They're incredibly drought tolerant and productive in these arid environments. But we're at the end of the line. We're destocking because it is getting too hot and too dry for
even
African
for
sheep
them.
And goats.
Mm.
So what's next? You're at the end of the line.
So I guess that's why you're in Sydney, trying to get some traction on some of those issues. What specifically are you calling for or asking for?
Yeah, so farmers can no longer just have this conversation over the fence or, you know, down the main drag. We actually need people in the wider community to understand what the impacts of drought means. It's not just impacting the farmers. It impacts the rural communities. It impacts the food on every single person's plate because that means lower nutritional value. It means higher food costs. So food availability and affordability becomes, you know, further out of people's reach, especially at the lower income levels. So Farmers for Climate Action is calling for a national strategy for agriculture and climate change. We want multi-partisan support of a science-based strategy of how we in rural Australia can actually adapt to these changing conditions that are happening so great, that are happening so quickly. How can we be part of the solution in reducing greenhouse gas emissions? And there are a lot of opportunities. Farmers have these great expanses of land. We can host solar panels and wind turbines. We can earn secondary and stable sources of income from those. And that helps us ride out the rough times during the drought. We need investment into research so we can feed our ruminants appropriately, which reduces greenhouse gas emissions from methane, from burping ruminants. That then value adds to our product and we can tap into new markets. Because consumers are becoming more environmentally conscious. They want to spend money on products that have a low carbon footprint. There are some great opportunities which have, you know, all these multiple benefits for maintaining healthy, well-productive ecosystems, which, you know, inject wealth and new jobs into our rural communities, which help farmers actually ride out these rough times. And we need to be talking about those opportunities and then putting them in place today. Because we know the next drought is coming. We know the next drought will probably be even worse than the one we're currently experiencing today.
That's Anika Molesworth, the family property just outside of Broken Hill.